Yo, 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 what is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another episode of the Just Leave Roadshow presented by Winject Studios with Black Label Nash. Steve, you're making a weird face.
It's because last time when we started an episode, I had resting bitch face, so I was trying to smile.
That's what was happening. But you're forcing this smile.
Well, I know it's because you guys didn't say anything funny, so I had to fake it.
Wow. It only took Steve, like, this is, I think, like our third or fourth time batching content. It only took him like 13 episodes in to finally start being like self-conscious about changing his shirt.
Yeah, you guys stopped.
And in all the shirts you could have chose, you chose that one.
It's because we just got back from the Keys, Chris. Shut the hell up.
He's still tropical. he's still pretending like he's with the palm trees.
I'm trying. Jess Lee looks like a cinnamon dream. I look like a damn cherry-faced idiot. She looks like Jennifer Lopez. I look like Jack Black.
You look like a bad Tuesday morning.
I'm over here. Like,
I look like I'm hungover, and she looks like a cinnamon dream. She looks like a Cinnabon that I just want to. I look like a cherry. I look like the dude from what's that show with the vegetables? Veggie Tales.
Okay.
I don't know. Please tell me more.
Bob the Tomato. Just Bob Google it. Bob the Tomato.
I don't want to Google it.
It's a Christian cartoon. It's a waste with vegetables.
Of time. I don't trust you because I'll end up Googling it and it'll be like something else.
Chris, just trust me.
It reminds
me,
you of an evil can of V8.
That's right.
Ooh. Do you remember those commercials that do like the lean thing? I never got that.
It's because only psychopaths drink V8.
Yeah, 100%.
Ugh.
No offense to anybody that drinks V8, but you're a psychopath.
Sorry, Dad.
But that shit's disgusting. It's like drinking tomato soup cold.
Ugh.
Disgusting. Yeah, it's weird. You know, the Bloody Marys. I remember back in the day when I was young and not a kid anymore, and I did partake in some other curricular activities. I would drink a Bloody Mary, but then I could only drink like a half of one. I was like, ugh,
I can't do it. You know what I think is weird about Bloody Marys is when they put so much food on top of
it that
it's more like breakfast than it is a drink.
And why do they call it a Bloody Mary? Why don't they call it a Bloody Sally? Like, I don't get it. Do you know the numbers? I mean, do you know the history behind why they call it a Bloody Mary?
I truthfully couldn't tell you. I imagine it's probably because somebody named Mary came up with the drink.
Interesting.
That's typically the weird stuff that drinks are named after is the people who made them up.
Sounds like programming.
Probably. Horror movie.
So I'm actually kind of excited about this episode because this episode is starting to become the flip-flop where we are catching up with what we've been pre-gaming with, basically. So the initial first
what is pre-gaming?
Pre-gaming is like pre-game, like you're setting up for what's to come, like the big game.
You're getting drunk before the football
like
game.
Tailgating.
That's what I was thinking. Okay. Yeah. All right.
So I would say the first handful of episodes was the pregame where we were introducing the show. We were starting to talk about what was going to come. Bitch, it's come. Okay.
Wait, let's rewind. Hey, guys, today we're talking about.
Did you see my face? Oh, my gosh. I saw my own face just then. And I was
Nanny, I'm sorry that she just said that on this podcast. Didn't mean it that way. I swear.
She paused like for a good second and really sold the bitch.
She's like, bitch, it's come.
I don't repeat it. I will not repeat that again. You get that the one time. If you want to hear it, go rewind
like,
it.
Bitch. You said bitch though, right?
She did.
Remember, did I send you that clip?
If you're gonna talk to me that way, at least slap me in the face when you do it.
Didn't even introduce
herself. Just walked in by bitch.
Bitch, it's come.
B-I-H. I did see a yacht the other day that had the name B-I-H.
That's funny, actually. I would never get that on mine, but that's funny.
We picked our yacht out in the Keys while we were there.
We did, but we'll talk about the in the Keys. So we are here. Bitch, it's come.
What happens in the Keys stays in the Keys.
So we have caught up with our initial pre-gaming, which was talking about Country Fest, and we are here on part three to finalize Country Fest. We're going to go ahead and show you, and for anybody who's watching, which, Chris, can you tell them where they can go watch all this beautiful footage, by the way?
Yes, absolutely. It is on Winject Studios, but winject.com/archive/JL is Jess Lee's page. It's Jess Lee Roadshow, but you just go to winject.com and it's all over the place.
All over the place.
All over the place. I mean, you can't miss it. You even have pop-ups and intercoms, and you have all this other stuff that's going to start driving you to where you need to be. Because inside of the community, that's where everybody's at. You're going to be able to interact with the beautiful Jess Lee, Steve Virginia, Steve Virginia's assistant, and then the multiple personalities of Steve. And then from the audio clips of they sent me, the Seamus O'Malley will have his own page.
Right, Seamus O'Malley's gonna have his own page. You better not have any anybody else on the whole damn podcast station.
Can you do
Seamus O' fucking O'Malley all day long, 24 hours a day?
Just had to say the O' fucking man.
I'm literally for Irish his birthday. People. I'm gonna get him just a Seamus O'Malley cake with like a little hat and everything, with pots of gold
with a wee with some gold leprechaun on the top,
some gold coins just shattered around it.
I would like that.
Okay.
I heard that wrong. Okay.
So we are here, part three of Country Fest, where all the visuals are starting to be pulled in. So these are our fun videos that you're going to be able to watch, because we're going to start pulling in clips. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be doing that now with the transition of what this show is supposed to be. So
TV show.
Boom, bam, bam.
What I love.
Thank you, ma'am. Boom, bam.
What I love about this is that most people don't, they think about us being on stage and that's it.
Right.
Or they think about the celebrity doing what the celebrity is known for. But they don't consider that
cocaine and strippers. I tell you what,
they never show the strippers and cocaine part. Like, but what's cool about like us on the road is we spend an hour on stage, but 23 hours leading up to going to the stage, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so there's a lot of work. Like this run we went to on Country Fest,
a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work for what payoff is 45 to an hour, right? So yeah. You go out on stage and everybody jams with you for an hour. But for us, it took us the time to get there. It took us the time to rehearse. It took us the time to load in the gear. It took us talking to the logistics person and the production person. And
my 2 hour makeup, sometimes 2.5.
Question.
It takes us. Okay, what?
I've been curious for a while now. What is your process? What is your process of getting yourself up to a high peak state?
Oh, I love that question. Mm-hmm. So that's actually a really good question, because it does have to sometimes be in a case by case scenario. Sometimes if it's like a smaller acoustic event, something, for instance, like Eddie's Attic that's coming up, that's really, really intimate. People like John Mayer, Stapleton, Justin Bieber play that room, but it's an intimate on purpose closed session basically. Right. Mm-hmm. So something like that, I don't necessarily go and like hire a makeup artist. We don't bring a bus out to that. I don't know how to really describe it. You just don't.
Showing up in a yellow cab.
Yeah. Right. You just don't. You show up in like a sprinter, and this honestly would be a bitch to bring the bus in anyway and do it, because the way that this venue is, everything's just such tight quarters. Like it's an experience. It's a whole different kind of thing. So for something like that, where I don't have like a makeup artist, I don't have people working with me, I usually will take the time to just do a little meditation beforehand. I like to do visualization, go back and kind of like replay in my head what I'm going to do on certain things, whether it's like a choreography kind of thing or talking about certain things. Like if I'm implementing a new story, if it's not something that I've necessarily have ingrained in my brain because I've said it enough times at a show, if it's something like I know that I'm going to be bringing in a different song or showcasing something special that night that I haven't done yet before, kind of reenacting that before I get out and do it on stage. And that's kind of the way that I do it. And I like to just say a couple affirmations for things, to myself, just to remember who I am and get hyped, because you know, when you are performing for people, it is really easy to start sucking in their energy.
Yes.
And I'm a big believer in being the energy. I want to come in and I want to create what the energy and the frequency of that room is going to be. So I always need to maintain in that state to where it doesn't matter what I'm thinking, what other people are thinking about me or worrying about what they're wanting or feeling. I can just be 100% who I am, unashamed, unabashed, you know, just unapologetically me, and give them that, because that's ultimately what they came for.
Yeah, I agree with her. And it's interesting because she talks about energy and how you can absorb energy. And that's exactly what I try and do. What I've always tried to do is connect to source before I go on stage. right?
I like that.
So like I always say a prayer, whether it's literally 5 seconds to myself or whether it's gathering the whole band together and circling up and praying, which you'll see in one of these videos.
Yeah, it's a case by case scenario
and
too.
It doesn't matter if you're Buddhist or Christian or Methodist or Muslim or whatever, we're still praying to the same energy.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I will say what I say. And if somebody doesn't believe what I believe, they can believe what they believe and they can take their own time with Source. But if you can get connected with Source and it doesn't matter what other energy is around, because you're going to exude what you're there for. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I've always tried to do. Sometimes it's very difficult. And there's this Country Fest. You'll see you'll see me on the phone at Country Fest in this first clip. Yeah.
Was that were you talking stage. To me?
Well, before you play the clip though, there is also a case scenario too. Like I said, everything is so different. That was the case for something where I have more time. I'm kind of alone for a lot of the process of getting ready. Then you have events like Country Fest, which are like the cream of the crop, the biggest of what the biggest artists do, right? And that's a very, very different, fast-paced, high energy. Everything feels like you're on freaking speed kind of day. Like it doesn't matter how much you want to calm yourself down. Everything's moving so fast-paced and you have so many people around you. That's the biggest thing too, is that, you know, you have to step away and make time for yourself and do something where you can at least mentally break away and make sure that you have that time, because when you're starting to work at events like that, you have such a huge amount of team of people who are yanking on you from every direction.
Yeah. Not just to disconnect you from your source.
Exactly. And that's the most important time. It's easier for the intimate shows and the things that we're doing that are, you know, purposely smaller scale and more one-on-one. But for things like arenas and festivals and stuff like that, it's big team and everybody always wants a piece of you, and you have to.
That shit. You saw it right before I got on here with you guys. I was being pulled in different directions, and I feel like the straw, what is it? The scarecrow and Wizard of Oz. All the monkeys came down and they started yanking the damn, and I was freaking out. I don't like to be pulled on.
Yeah. And that's, you know, it's funny. Hard too, because sometimes in those situations, you have to learn how to be very adaptable, because you don't have a choice though. So for instance, like at Country Fest, in my idea world, in my little land, all of my
Jessly land.
Every interview, every meet and greet, everything would be after all of my shows and Steve, but you just can't. Like some days you just can't. So at Country Fest, because there's other artists and they're coordinating around other people, actually that day I've had 2 interviews before my show. I had a meet and greet before my show. And then after because I had 3 shows that day, I had 1 in between every single other one too.
Which we didn't know about till we got there.
Yeah. And you know, so you have to learn, especially as an artist, to be extremely adaptable, because again, you know, when I do a show like Eddie's Attic, for instance, it's on my time. I'm the headliner. I get to do what I want and create the day. So all my meet and greets, any sort of interviews, any sort of anything that I do is either going to be on a completely different day interview wise, or it's going to be right after my show where I feel like I've already kind of done what I needed to do. But you don't always get that. So on days like that, my process is different. I usually take, which is kind of weird, I take the time while my makeup artist is doing my makeup, because it's about a 2 hour.
There we go.
Yeah. And it's about a 2 hour process. And I usually about 30 minutes before tell her I just need some quiet time. And I usually will meditate while she's doing it. And I'll
shut
kind of
your face. Yeah, please stop it.
The cool thing is it's not awkward at all, because she's worked with me now for 4 years. So like she knows my process, and she's like, she knows that like I need a moment of silence to myself to be able to listen to what I need to listen to and talk to myself and whatever, hype myself up. But you know, she's really, really cool about that. So it's always important too, to have a really great team that understands you and your process and what you need, because everybody needs something a little bit different that will help them get into that state that they need to be on as a performer. Cause a really good performer, they're not 100%. They're not just like, especially for me, like I'm not everyday Jess Lee on stage. I go into like a Sasha Fierce, you know, like I definitely have an alter ego that I tap into. So, So I love that question, because it's definitely a case by case scenario, and it's an important one. But I love, you know, there's so much going on Like I said, behind Country Fest, that we should definitely bring the clip in because this is a really, really cool example of what goes on backstage, what we have to do in preparation for the show. It's the production, the sound check, load in. I don't have anything of me while I'm doing my makeup just because, like I said,
I don't have anything on. Everybody just stop traffic when they're driving.
Right. Who has anything on? But while I'm doing my makeup, normally the people are coming in and my team is coming in and making sure everything's ready so I can literally walk out and do sound check and everything. So yeah, we'll bring that in and we'll show that, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, what's cool about this clip, Chris, is it gives you from the time we got there on the bus, which was very early. It was like 8 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, there's no sound on this one, right?
There's no sound. We can talk over
so
the top.
So we can pull it in if you want and we'll talk while we're showing it.
Hold up. That's early. 8 o'clock?
We got there at 8 o'clock in the morning because we traveled
for a show. I mean, no, I'm not being funny. I'm saying
it's actually not early at all. Okay. By the time we had gotten there, Thomas Rhett's crew had already been there for 6 hours and they already had the stage set. So,
yeah. And I was already up before we got there. I was actually starting my hair, which my hair alone that day took, you'll see it. It's a hairful of tinsel, but
we finished in Chicago the night before at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And so we rolled in at 8 a.m. to.
And sponsored by Whitfield Bryson LLP and Attorneys at Law to make sure if anything happens.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thanks, Whitfield Bryson, they are incredible. They made all of this run so smooth and so incredible. They exceeded our expectations with what we're going to be able to do for the Country Fest run. But you're seeing Dre set up some drums. We're rolling in all our gear. That's Kyle, our sound guy right there. And he's absolutely wonderful. And he's just going around making sure, look how many people there are. I mean, like, just that's how much it takes for a show like this. When you look around, we're talking, there's probably 50, 70
there's
people
probably
there.
Probably 70 people on the stage.
Mm-hmm. Getting everything
stuff
ready.
Up, miking stuff, pulling drums, setting up.
This was my interview after my makeup and all my stuff was done. I had a full on tinsel head. I called it my fairy combat outfit all day. Had sparkles from head to toe, literally sparkly boots, full-on feather bodysuit. Yep, signing walls, getting everything ready. So literally you're seeing from load in to the process of me getting to sound check and having everything in between with makeup and interviews. And at that time I had already done a intimate meet and greet as well. So it's a process. It's a really, really big process. I usually come out because my band is already out there and they've been setting, and I have this thing. I love to come up and just talk to everybody one by one. I check in with them. I make sure that they're all in a good mental headspace. I always give everybody hugs. I literally just will walk around and I'll be like, hey, how you doing today? You know, are we good? Are you guys ready? I give everybody a hug. I talk to them, sound check my stuff after I speak to everybody. And then, you know, we all come together, we take some photos, and then make sure that we take a moment to have a time of meditation or prayer or whatever you want to call it all together and just get in the same alignment to be excited for the show. So
Pastor Steve starts praying for everybody.
Yes.
Thank you, baby Jesus. 9 pounds, 7 ounces. There's a couple things I wanted to point out.
Thank you, Mary.
That looked very, very, very smooth, right? But what you didn't see was that when we got there, festivals like that, their UHF bands, the wireless bands there, are haywire as hell because there's usually there's 6 bands and they're all using a UHF band.
That's
and there's radios,
nuts.
Right?
It's crazy.
So what's crazy is you start hearing radios from across the festival. And so you're sitting here and you sound checking and nobody can do it like we have a drunk guy laying in front of the porta potty. Right. And so you have to work on
go red
like
team,
that.
Go blue team, go.
Yeah.
We were literally like fixing our in-ears right up until it was time to play. Like Kyle had his work cut out for him. We also had laid our set lists out and one of the stagehands had gathered them up and threw them away.
Yeah.
And so what you didn't see,
these are all little
things. He put his whole
things.
Foot up someone's ass.
These are all little things that no one would ever know unless we're doing this road show and talking about it. A lot of these artists, Thomas Rhett isn't going to come and be like, oh, well, before the show today, I lost my set list and we were scrambling around trying to figure it out. So I think this is just one of the cool parts about this show is we can talk about and open up about all these cool things, sometimes scary things that happen before shows, but it all comes together, you know?
And so like we're sitting there with no set list and Jesse's like, where's my set list? And I was like, well,
they
that's
get
a really,
taped.
That's
they
a
get
good
taped
question.
On the bottom of the
and
stage
so
just for anybody.
We couldn't find them anywhere. And so like I had to call Lisa, my assistant, you know, Lisa, I had to call Lisa who had to call the office at Country Fest, who then took a PDF that I had on my phone, luckily, thank God for me, because I save everything on Google Drive. And I sent it to Lisa, who sent it to the lady who printed it out at the office, who ran them to the stage so we could have set lists for the show. But those set lists didn't have any of our notes written on there either. So a lot of times players will have notes written to the side. Hey, you need to put your capo here, or you need to detune your guitar here, or you need to switch instruments here. And none of us had any of that for main stage. So we were kind of like, well, I guess we really are going to have to remember everything.
Yeah. And coming back to your question before, you know, it doesn't matter what kind of preparation you have. You can't prepare for those kind of things. Mm-mm. And that's how life is. Like,
however, you can prepare to the point to where you're able to overcome anything in a chaotic moment.
Exactly, which is what I was going to say, was that that's life in general. You know, you're always going to roll up to something.
I'm prepared for the shit to go nuts, but I don't want to take it there if I have to, but
exactly.
I think that's one benefit.
But it will inevitably. There will be moments that doesn't matter how prepared you are. Something's going
to
pop up.
I have a follow-up to that question.
Yeah.
Not to ask another question, but I have something I want to run past you.
Yeah.
On this. Okay. I'm a science guy. Most people would know this. I'm a science freak. Imagine that. I love science.
Science.
So light. In order to see, you need light.
Yes. Yeah.
So light meeting another source or another measure, then you're able to visualize that based on the lighting of the actual fixture or whatever it is.
Nice.
Well, say for instance, if I put a glass of water in front of something and you can see it through light. So last passing through light, binding light, it obviously is called refraction. Mm-hmm. Well, I wrote something down the other day about refraction when it comes to energy. Mm. Based upon my findings, not just really just scientific like facts or something with energy. I was talking about this the other day on a podcast show. I was being interviewed. They were talking a lot about recycling energy and no one's really heard it in that much detail. Nice. And I'm going to keep it short for the listeners. But when just like as that was my kind of way of like wrapping my mind around it, being able to explain it and articulate that over for someone like maybe a 5-year-old kid to explain, to understand.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
When light, when your eyes see something based on your experiences, you're already going into your own mind of your experience in life and what you actually see and being able to explain it. What typically happens with energy, you can't fake it.
Mm, no, that's true.
So when you're showing up, see, I don't show up to be able to, you mentioned your energy. Well, I have those boundaries there that we can take it anywhere we want. But here's what how I show up on those huge things that I like on an event or whatever that might be. Right. I'm willing to take it anywhere you want to take it, but I have the capacity to recycle your energy that rolls back into me to put out another source.
Right.
You see my point?
Yeah.
So if that's refraction. If you think about it with the light and binding light, it's binding energy. I have the capacity to withstand any energy because I'm at an optimal level.
Yes. Yes.
So absolutely. I can test what type of energy you can. So my question to a lot of people out there, what type of energy can you withstand to recycle? Some of you, my energy or a certain amount of energy, I can dial it down and be conscious of, but I don't obviously dial it down when you have the capacity and I can sense that we're on that type of frequency to recycle quickly. People always ask, like, how the hell do you ask the questions at the right moment, at the right time to get what you're looking for? Because 9 times out of 10, I have no idea what I'm looking for. Right. I need to get into synchronize. I need to get in sync with you. Once I'm on that, then I can do anything I need to.
Well, that's absolutely true. I mean, I tell Steve all the time, one of your best specialties is you're very good at understanding how people tick. Mm-hmm. That's an important part of you're welcome. That's an important part of being a host just in a professional standpoint, because there's obviously other advantages on a personal standpoint, but being a host and doing what you do as an entrepreneur, being able to have relationships with people and know this is going to be the right time for me to bring this subject up or have this pitch or whatever, you know what I mean? And then on a personal standpoint, it's a plus too, because you're able to understand what's going on or with the people around you on a different level that a lot of people don't necessarily do. And a lot of the times too, that's something that you can learn. I think that you have a gift that you've really honed in on it. I think you have a natural gift at it, but I like with anything, you know, when people practice enough and they pay attention, it gets better.
It starts with awareness. It starts with awareness and being, when I started studying the human brain biology and psychology and all the different types of ways that to get a more of a deeper understanding, I thought I was actually nuts for a long time. That was like, how am I able to kind of read this off of people? I still do it like they call it the train, well, subway, but I call it, it's like they call it here is a tube. I'm able to pick up on energy before I even walk in there in that one cab or whatever. I could feel something's off. This is where I failed in relationships, to be honest with you, is that you show up at a certain frequency with me, I'm still going to be able to know there's no depth there.
Right.
Well, you know, this is something that I feel it's interesting. You're so good at it. It's something that I'm still trying to get better at. And I'm at a really, really distinct disadvantage than most people because I have to balance three types of energies when I'm on the road.
But you're disconnected from your own one source.
Right.
But that goes also with your personality.
Well,
that you're able to selfishly enough sacrifice. And I'm using the word carefully here. Sacrifice is from two different ways. And I know we're going to get into this clip, but it's important to kind of read energy before you're able to kind of like go out there to knowing how and when you need to show up.
Yeah, right?
Exactly.
So, that's my point.
So you have to be able to walk out. I have to be able to walk out even if I'm having a shit day. Like at that point at Country Fest, I was so stressed out. I felt like I was going to pull my
Oh my God, I love you because that I saw it in your face in the last clip.
But once we start playing, I have to let that go instantly. But as a manager, like as soon as we're done, I have to put that energy back in so I can focus on that. But then also as a boyfriend to Jessely, I have to manage that energy as well. And so for me, it's extremely hard to be able to do all three things because I have to be something that outwardly people perceive as like all he's here is just to rock on guitar and fling his hair around.
No, I think that's where you're able to get yourself back into your source and tap into that is when you're performing. You're back.
I think you're right because there is a situation, a great observation
because I don't think he's even realized that.
Well, I haven't, but that's very true. It's like after I get off stage, I'm like, whew. So it's almost a necessity for me to do
that.
That's
a celebrate. It's the celebration is actually doing what he was born to do and what brings him that type of bliss.
Right.
Absolutely.
The only, you know, Jessely asked me the other day, she said, what is it that we were having a really deep conversation on the way back from Florida? She said, what is it that lights you up? Right.
Mm. I just like to ask him weird things. And you know, it's funny too, because before he keeps going, that's so important to me. Like, we're always, 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 always around each other. So a lot of the times, like when we're doing stuff, like just when we were in the Keys, a lot of that was for work, although we did stay a day extra for vacation, but it was for filming content. So we're out there in paradise having to have business conversations all of the time. And so I always try to take even in little moments, like when we're driving back from places and he and I are alone, I just like to ask random questions to make sure that we're still in tune, to make sure that I know that I care about who he is as a person. And it's not always just what's next on our agenda. You know?
Yeah, that's really difficult. That's a difficult thing to balance as a boyfriend and a manager because you have, they're two soaps, totally different hats. Like sometimes as a boyfriend, you want to be empathetic to what your person is feeling. As a manager, you need to stick your foot in their ass and say,
There's nothing wrong with that, but that's where you're able to get yourself back into tune or get your back.
Well, that's
exactly
right. So like you, and I'm learning the art of taking time, like time for us to separate. Like if we have discord or some sort of disagreement, learning that we need to whoop, you know,
but that was very difficult for me to learn.
It was hard. It's a hard thing.
Well, especially when you're again, a couple that you do everything
together.
We are completely, this is us. They're like, we are completely submerged in every single aspect of our life, which I, weirdly enough, I love.
I love it too.
So, but you know,
especially with someone,
starting
to cut you off. I apologize if I was disrespectful. When you have to be also conscious of the other genetic proclivities or could also personality types of the other individual. Say for instance, if it was a woman that had abandonment issues. If you go to walk off, that's a way, that's like the biggest fear of all time for her.
Absolutely. Yeah. Which, you know, that's, you always have to be cognizant of things like that. And that's the importance of communication as well. But, you know, there is another importance too, when you're like this with your partner and you're submerged in one another and everything that you do, because our businesses align, you know, we've got a dog together. We live together. We know all these reasons why our whole life is connected. It's always important to make sure that you do that in a healthy way, and you can be like that without being codependent, because we really are. We're not codependent on each other in any way, even though our life is submerged in every way.
Well, you're planting seeds, but you're getting water from other sources, and that's why it works.
Exactly. Yeah,
that's exactly right.
Exactly.
You'd still have to have your own identity. You can't get lost in somebody else. And so for me, being able to play guitar still for Jesley is a way for me to keep the musical identity that I had before,
right,
but still be able to, she asked what lit me on fire. And it used to be that I told her it used to be that I wanted to be somebody like Keith Urban, who would walk down the catwalk and everybody would scream my name and look at me and be like, ah,
scuba Steve.
But
exactly.
The day I met Jesley, I realized something completely different. And I was so enamored with her, her energy, that I wanted to be able to have everybody experience it the way that I did. Not exactly the way that I did, but I wanted them to experience it. Not everybody, back this shit off right here. But I wanted them
that, to be able to that just happened.
Listener, don't get any ideas.
Don't get any ideas here, fellas.
And but I do see that. And I do see the comments on some of Jess Lee's engagement. And was like, Cole, can I please give you a kiss? Now, like, who would write that? Then, can I please address this? Can I please? Please.
Just go for it.
Okay. So there's certain people out there in the world that are trying to bring down your boy, Chris Ross, right? So it's just the funniest shit in the world to me.
Which
of being
me
able
off.
To see the... you guys are an annoyance, but it's more about I'm actually get more enjoyment off of seeing your dumbass messages. And don't worry, I'm really good friends now with Facebook and IP, and I didn't have a subpoena, so we know where you live. So don't do it. Don't do it. Keep it. Just keep on. Keep on. So, I'm gonna if you have $10 of worth, I'm gonna get $9.95 out of you.
There you go.
And if you haven't noticed that little thing at the end of my name, that little R. That's not just because I like it, just makes my name look pretty. That's rights reserved. That's when you pay for the rights to your name. So keep on.
I could do that with mine too. I didn't like the way it looked on my name. But my name, my name is trademarked.
It was more of a business type of purposes, because there's certain things that people that did have my name, but it's also where I was able to get, it was kind of like obviously the advice that I got from certain people.
It looks cool next to you.
Because there's a lot of different things that I've done in business that people can't find.
Yeah.
So when it does, obviously I have the rights to and the copyright to a lot of things that I wrote for some of these. Thought leaders, I guess you would say.
So yes. The trick, and I love that you don't allow people to steal your energy from you, Chris. And that's right. That's a similar thing with me that I try and protect with Jesley when we're out on the road too. And
I saw some of the boundaries right there of being able to see, I'm able to plug in and stay dialed into my source.
Yeah.
When I'm detached from my source, I don't ever go to the scarcity type of world on what's not available or what is available, where I'm disconnected from like fear, lack of abundance, or, you know, fear, stress, whatever, right? All those different ones that yank you away from your source, or you're being pulled. Well, that's what I'm talking about. It's like, when I need to get myself back, I know what makes me tick, and I know how to turn it on and turn it off. If you notice, like, I can just – it's kind of like one of those things where if it's game time, it's game time. I'm bringing heat.
Yeah.
Well, what's interesting is I find myself working so much now that I forget to, until I walk out on stage, pick up a guitar.
Right.
And
people used to ask me all the time, how do you get centered? What do you do to get calm? And I'm like, well, I just go play my guitar.
Right.
And I don't ever get a chance to do that anymore. It just like, literally, I don't know if you saw my face. I was like, holy shit, that's my problem. I kind of stopped being that, right? And started being more, I have to do this. I have to do this. I have to do this.
Well, and also, would you say that it's probably in the best way for you to find something of that type of magnitude? You're not going to find it all the way up to that level. However, you can start strengthening another muscle of something else that you're able to plug into your source where you're not able to get on stage and having a guitar.
Well, I mean, I have 50 guitars at the house. I don't even pick them up. You know what I'm saying? So like, it's always available.
Is that a choice? Is that a choice or is that something?
No, it's not. It, you know, but it's always, when you walk,
it's
not
about, though.
It's not about being on,
it is a choice.
It's not about being on stage, right? It's like John Mayer said it best. You get on stage, and to him, what he loves about being on stage is that it's like he's flying. He's connected to his instrument, and then people are connected to that. It's not that they're, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're connected to the energy that comes out of him and not necessarily to what's driving him, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's the same kind of thing. Like, it's not about being on stage. It's about the energy that I'm getting from taking that time of meditation. That's my meditation, because it's something, like, you know, it's just something that I think people need to get to. So,
and, well, whatever that is for you, that's what's so important. Taking the good, you know, there's always going to be moments in life where things are not going to go your way and you can get stressed about it. I literally
be okay with that and welcome it. Like, be okay with it.
But the best thing is too, is like, why focus your energy on that when you can take that time and focus on taking in the good? Because that's going to be what gets you in a
green state. And that's a choice.
That's going to be what gets you in a green state of mind. So in that moment, the first thing I thought about was, you know what? Set list is gone, but I'm here on this stage. We'll figure it out. It may not be an ideal situation for me, but we rehearsed our asses off for this. We're prepared regardless. And I'm here on this stage that thousands and thousands and thousands of other artists, hundreds of thousands of other artists wish they could be right now. So, you know, you just always have to take those moments in a genuine way. Don't be hokey about it. You know, like, it's more than just being like, my life is great. I'm a great singer, sending affirmations. No, it's like, more than
things are always work out for me. Things are always going to work out for me.
Yeah, exactly.
When you're putting yourself in that type of frame of mind, when you're willing to surrender and just embrace rather than trying to control. So people get into a situation, and I suffered from this last week, and I forgot who I was for a little while because I was trying to control too many moving parts that had zero relevance to the life that I'm actually manifesting or stepping into. And I'm still trying to hold on to shit, like stepping into the world that I'm creating. It's got to catch up to the reality on, and I'm still holding on to it because I'm bought into the same thing where I was able to be disconnected from my source and being the loyalty side of me. Right, so I'm doing what's best for them. Like, fuck that, I'm gonna do what's best for me,
exactly,
short term and long term. So when I'm putting yourself, when just goes out to anybody out there, when you want to be dialed in, you just need to surrender. And sometimes in life, life is filled with expectations and disappointments, but just know that when you get into the alignment and what God is telling you to do, or whatever your source and whatever name that you want to put, some old white guy in the sky, I don't care what you believe. But when you're in alignment to your true self and what you're born to do and God's telling you to do, there's no room for nothing else. And then sometimes it could be the love of your life was removed from your life, and you're thinking that could destroy you, but you're not. That's why it's called faith, a principle of faith.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if there's ever going to, if I'm ever going to actualize fully, but I'm willing to go for the ride, and I will not look my sister in the face when I pass over if that ever is an opportunity, and her be disappointed in that millisecond and you being detached. So you, just like you guys go on stage, and that's the way for you to get yourself back. I have a lot of different ways that I'm able to do it. So whatever that is for people, and you can see it. I haven't even watched the clip yet. I'm excited to see it. Is this one with the audio? Yeah, can we hit this clip?
I don't have audio with this one.
Yeah, so just to talk with it, but go ahead and play it, because this is, you know, this is what brings me back to me. So these are clips that have not been shown at all. And this is what I do.
And if you're not watching this, guys, make sure you're watching.
Yeah, go check it out. Make sure you can go watch it. But yeah, this is what I do. This is what all of the 14 hours of driving and nearly the 3 hours of makeup and meditation and the interviews and everything, all this, the months and months of prepping and rehearsal, this is what it's all for. And, you know, it's only for an hour, but to me, being on that stage and getting to do what I do and, you know, push the message out that I get to push out, this is what it's all for. And there's Steve. Look at Steve killing it. Look how much of a rock star he is.
Shoot.
Y'all need to go watch this. You need to get up on Winject and watch this, if not, because this is the first footage of this that's been released. So, and we're not going to actually release this exact footage. We're going to have some that comes out later on that, but it's never going to be this exact capture. So,
you know, I think it's funny because like we were talking about energy and recycling energy. This is where we recycle ours.
Yes.
But you know, I feel like you're really truly living in your source when you can take your, when you can take the adversity and take the resistance and still be positive about it, you know?
Yeah, and you become unstoppable.
You become unstoppable. And that's what I think most people strive toward. And this is
right
where we're unstoppable.
This right here, though, is like, this is crowd controlling shit right there. Like getting people to do what you ask them to do. Phones in the air, hands up, jump in. And that's like, that's what I live for. That's the fun. That's for me. My fun is being able to make other people have fun.
And we got faced with a situation that day too, where Country Fest was in a bind. And they asked Jessely to do a show, and she was tired, and she was really, you know, her vocal was tired, and she just was like, man, I don't know, man, I don't know. And she did it. And it was probably one of the best shows I've ever been involved with her. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, she's a very,
that happens on purpose. Do you know that, Jessely?
Yeah.
I
forget it in the moment, which is easy, but
that happens on purpose.
Yeah.
It happens on purpose.
It's all building blocks.
It is. And you know what's interesting?
It wants to make sure it's making sure you're ready for the next little level or the next decimal, I guess you would say.
It's hey, let's throw you into this tornado. Can you get out?
What can you do?
Are you ready for the next level? Exactly.
And what's interesting,
I couldn't agree more
about this is we had this particular festival booked in 2019.
Yeah.
And then COVID, it was for 2020, and COVID happened and they canceled it like a week before it's supposed to happen.
I remember that. Jess Lee was that, you know, it's so funny how everything works out
the
way.
Show, I think.
Yes, she did.
And then what else is crazy is they called us and they wanted us to do it again. They just recycled their whole entire lineup.
Of course you
want to
do it again. That's right.
And so exactly. It was like, you know, but I told her, I said,
sorry.
Second time's always better.
It's like, if it happens three, we're in a relationship. We don't even know.
That's exactly right. Well, it did happen. So we're in a relationship with
Country
Fest.
That's what I'm saying.
So, yeah. But we, you know, it wouldn't have worked out that way had it happened in 2020, because the person that was supposed to be there that got sick would have not been there, and he wouldn't have gotten sick. And so her filling in for him, and really that was the show that Country Fest came out and said, damn, Jessely stole the show from everyone on the stage, any stage that day. Mm-hmm. And like, we're talking even the headliner that night.
Well, see, to me, it's not shocking, right? And I mean, a couple of questions that have came up. Why did I choose Jessely? It wasn't that I chose Jessely. The alignment brought us together at the right time. Like, because if it wasn't for COVID and it wasn't for certain things going on in my life at the time, I would have never started an interview. I would have just went and did my thing. So,
right. Well, that's exactly right.
It's the truth. I think the lesson to take away from this episode and ending it on that, because it came in perfectly talking about that. That's what fuels our fire. That's what gets us back in alignment. And we got to show those clips, which are exclusive clips. So hopefully you guys go check them out. But the lesson today for everybody is, you know, there's always going to be things that come up that you're not going to feel prepared for. But a lot of the times you're more prepared than you realize.
Yeah.
It's coming up for a reason. And if you show up and you stay in alignment with who you are, then you're going to get through it and you're going to grow from that. And you're going to learn from the uncomfortability of what was presented in front of you and become a stronger, better version of yourself on the other side.
And kids, find your reason to get yourself centered again.
Yes, find your purpose, because without that, you're just a zombie on this planet.
I had an epiphany during this podcast, so I'm going to go practice that after we get done.
There you go.
But, you know, I want to say thanks to Chris too, because I believe that everything happens for a reason. The Jessely Roadshow has been a real blessing for us both, and documenting things like Country Fest and being able to talk about things like this has been really, really cool, especially with Chris. You know, he's my brother now and he's Jessely's brother, and we just love him to death, and we love being on Winject, and we love the opportunity to be able to talk about Country
Fest. What is this like? What, do you have a scroll? Do you have a scroll that you need to roll out with your thank you list right now?
I'm getting ready to. First of all, I'd like to thank Whitfield Bryson for sponsoring all of these episodes for Country Fest.
Amen.
I'd like to thank Rare Steakhouse for giving us a wonderful dinner, the Concourse Hotel, and Village Coach for giving us a place to rest our heads. Chris Ross, and Winject Studios for allowing us to have this beautiful Jesley Roadshow podcast. I'd like to thank Jesley for being an incredible human being and an even better soul. And, well, I'm just Steve Virginia. So anyway.
I'm trying to get laid.
And Chris is trying to get laid.
This concludes our segment of Country Fest. We are going to be talking about something completely different in the next episode. Join us then on The Jesley Roadshow.
This broadcast is brought to you by Winject Studios. We are an all-in-one educational platform for podcasters that revolutionizes how hosts leverage content to increase engagement with listeners, downloads, and income. We come together to focus on community, collaboration, and collective impact. For more information on how you can interact directly with our hosts, access exclusive live content with offers you can't get anywhere else from our official partners, join our purpose-driven community by visiting www.winject.com. If you're ready to build a career doing what you love, then we're ready to see you there.
Nobody can do it like me, like me, like me. Yeah, nobody.